Time we gather for to worship our Lord. It's just an amazing time, and this is a taste of heaven this day, because we get to praise our Lord with people from different nations, you know, and different languages. Even though we're Hispanic, but we come from different backgrounds, different countries, you know. And even in Spanish, some words are a little bit different. Probably you won't believe that, but you know, when I'm talking to my brothers from Guatemala or from Ecuador or from Puerto Rico, you know, our Spanish, some words, you know, they're different. I have to ask them, what do you mean by that? What are you saying? You know, just little things like that. But this is a taste of heaven, and this is what we're gonna be doing for eternity, you know, worshiping our Lord. So it is a great privilege for me, brothers, to be among God's people this morning, and it's really, truly a joy to be here and able to worship our God together. You know, what a great God we serve. You know, He truly is worthy of all praise and glory. So initially, I had in mind to preach from Romans 5, but I noticed that our dear brother Emilio had already preached an amazing sermon from Romans 5. So I was like, well, I can't do that. I can't preach, you know, from the same text, you know. So the Lord gave me a different text, a text from Romans chapter 11. We're going to be studying in verse 33 to 36. And I really believe in the sovereignty of the Lord and His providence, you know. And I'm sure that the Lord really wants us to hear this message. And I believe with all my heart that we're going to be blessed today with the precious word of our Lord. So it is my prayer that you will open your heart so you receive this precious word of God this morning. The title for my sermon is "To God Alone Be the Glory." To God alone be the glory, taken from Romans 11, verses 33 to 36. So let's open our Bible, please. And if you are able, please stand to honor God's word as we read. All the depth of riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments, and how inscrutable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor, or who has given a gift to Him that He might be repaid? For from Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your presence today among Your people. We ask for Your blessing, O Lord, that You will honor Your word as You always do, that You will bless Your people this morning, Lord, that Christ might be exalted among in His church, that Your name, O Lord, will be lifted high. So we ask for Your blessing this morning, Lord, that You will help me to speak clearly to Your people. For this is Your will, and we are here with this purpose, to be blessed by You, O Lord, and to praise You and honor You. We ask all these things, O Lord, in the name of Jesus, our King. Amen. You may be seated. So when we contemplate this amazing text, no one can deny the deep meaning that is expressing this text. It's amazing. God alone is worthy of all glory, for He is the only creator of all things, things in heaven and things on earth, visibles and invisibles, thrones, dominions, rulers or principalities. He is the creator of mankind. He is the giver of life. He is Lord of all, worthy of all praise and honor. The angels in heaven worship His name. All His creation proclaims the glory of God. The Bible said that He alone is crowned with glory and honor. His throne is full of glory. Oh, what a wonderful God we serve. There is no one like our God. And surely we can keep going describing why God deserves all glory. But today, I want to concentrate my time in the context of this text. Here in this text, we will notice that Paul is concluding this chapter 11 with this amazing, wonderful doxology. And we can clearly see how Paul is worshiping the Lord Almighty with all his heart. But what I want you to notice, dear church, is the reason behind Paul's worship. Here we see that Paul has already concluded something amazing that perhaps brought him to his knees. What is the reason behind Paul's worship here? Why Paul is proclaiming, "To God alone be the glory. To God alone be the glory." Why he's doing this? And the answer is for the amazing salvation that God has given sinners through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. This is the reason why Paul is proclaiming, "To God alone be the glory. To Him be the glory." Through 11 chapters, Paul has been given his comprehensive account of the gospel, step by step. He has shown how God has revealed His way of putting sinners right with Himself, how Christ died for our sins and was raised for our justification, how we are in union with Christ in His death and resurrection. It's amazing. In chapter 1, Paul is declaring that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. In chapter 2, Paul has letting us know that not only the Gentiles are under the judgment of God because of sin, but also Jews are under the judgment of God. And finally, in chapter 3, verse 9, we begin to see that the Bible is declaring that no one is righteous. And listen how Romans chapter 3, verse 9 begins to declare. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, no one is righteous, no one, no one understands, no one seeks for God, all have turned aside, together they have become worthless, no one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. In the way of peace, they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Then you get to verse 23, and it says this. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Wow. Wow. But that's not all. That's not all. Because when you get to chapter 6, verse 23, you will find that the Bible declares the wage of sin is death. You read these scriptures alone, and you will find that mankind is in great problem. And now, up until now, every mouth is closed, and no one can justify himself before the Lord. There is a great silence now. So far, we have no hope. The just judge will execute his trial, and no one will escape. Oh, who can justify himself before the Lord Almighty? Who can ever say, I have never sinned against the Lord? Who can say that? For all have sinned and fall short from the glory of God. We have sinned against the Lord Almighty, the Holy One of Israel. We have sinned against the highest, the one who is holy, holy, holy. The wage of sin is death. How can we escape from the hands of the judgment of this holy God? I can only imagine Paul's face, writing this text. The sadness in his face. But suddenly, when we thought all was lost, you get to chapter 5, verse 8, and then you hear the greatest news for sinners. But God shows his love. Listen to this great news. It's amazing. Chapter 5, verse 8. But God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, Much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Wow! Wow! This is the greatest news for humanity. We were dead in trespasses and sin, but God showed his love for us. We were without hope, but God showed his love for us. We were enemies of God, but God showed his love for us. In what way God showed his love for us? In that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So those who put their trust in him are now justified by the blood of the Lamb. Those who are justified in Christ will receive all the benefits that Romans chapter 5 is declaring. Those who believe in the Son of God will be saved from the wrath of God. This is what God has done for us. Beloved, God has done something on our behalf. He sent his son Jesus to rescue sinners from hell, to give us everlasting life. Therefore, to God alone be the glory. To God alone be the glory. This is the reason why we exist. This is the reason why we have life. To give glory to God. You see, when you study the reform from the 16th century, you will notice that this was the battle cry of the Reformation. When Luther and John Calvin and other reformers were marching and lifting high the banner of the glory of God, the reformers were advancing, marching, and proclaiming, Soli Deo Gloria. Soli Deo Gloria, which means to God alone be the glory. To God alone be the glory. They understood that no man can take the glory that belongs to our God. For salvation is from the Lord. I said salvation is from the Lord, beloveds. God's people need to stamp this on their hearts. And we need to proclaim the glory of God. This is our time to do this. Our generation. We ought to be marching and proclaiming the glory of God. This is what Paul is doing here. This is what he is proclaiming. The glory of God for what God has done for sinners. And now Paul gets to chapter 8, verse 35. And his heart wants to explode with joy for these wonderful things. And look what he says there. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Or distress? No. Or persecution? No. Or famine? No. Or nakedness? No. Or danger? No. Or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Now in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, who can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord? Christ, the one who loved me and died for me on the cross. Oh, Christ, my righteousness. Christ, my propitiation. Christ, my life. Oh, Christ, my God and Savior. Oh, Christ, our only hope. Christ, our high priest in heaven. Oh, Christ, our defender. Christ, our redeemer. Christ, my strong tower. Christ, my king. Christ, my Lord. To God alone be the glory. To God alone be the glory. To God alone be the glory for the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Wow. And now when we come to chapter 11, verses 33 to 36, now we begin to understand why Paul is expressing this wonderful doxology. Paul, in one hand, he probably wanted to just fall down and continue worship the Lord Almighty. But in the other hand, he needed to continue writing what the Lord was revealing to him through the Holy Spirit. So he continued writing in verses 33. And I want you to notice how Paul, after all he has said in the previous chapters, now he has come to the end of chapter 11, to this point of worship. And I can only imagine how Paul could no longer contain his worship in his heart. And immediately, he begins to proclaim all the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him so that he might be repaid? For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Oh, the great wisdom of God in the gospel of Jesus Christ, our only hope. Oh, this type of worship, beloved, only comes from the heart that understands that he was lost, but now he's found. All this type of worship comes from a person who understands that he was condemned, but now he's set free. He was heading to hell, but now he's heading to heaven. He had no hope, but now Christ is our hope. He was cursed because of sin. Now he's blessed because of Christ. He was an enemy of God, but now he's a child of God. All because of Christ. All because of Christ. God has done something to save sinners. God had sent his son to die on the cross on our behalf. Paul is understanding what the Lord has done for him. A sinner who was heading to hell, but now it's a recipient of all the blessings of God. Wow. Can we see now, church? Can we see now the reason behind these songs of praise? Can we understand now why Paul is declaring this? To God alone be the glory. Oh, what a wonderful God we serve. What a wonderful God we have. He alone is crowned with glory. Now tell me, can you relate with Paul in this aspect? Is this how we feel when we come before the presence of the Lord every time we gather in this place to worship Him? Do we truly understand what the Lord has done on our behalf? Or when you read this text, your heart is still cold and doesn't mean anything to you? Oh, beloved, look what Paul is doing here. Look what Paul is doing here. Paul is giving praise to the God of all wisdom, to the God of all knowledge, to the God who can save sinners, to the God of glory. Paul understood this. Because of Christ, I am loved by the Father. Because of Christ, I am reconciled with Him. Because of Christ, I will live with Him forever. My Lord, how much I love you, how much you love me. My Jesus, how much you love me that you die for me on the cross. And my sins were nailed in that cross. You receive the wrath of God, the wrath of the Father that I deserve. He who knew no sin, God made him to be sin on our behalf, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is what God has done for sinners. This is the whole point of the entire epistle of Romans, to give glory to God for our salvation. This is the whole purpose in Romans, in this text, to exalt Christ, the Lamb of God, and to give honor and glory to Him for the salvation that we have. Oh, beloved, you see, Paul wants us to know that without Christ, we have no hope. We have no hope. He wants us to realize that it was nothing within ourselves that we could save ourselves. But God is doing something on our behalf. He gave his only son to die on the cross for sinners. Therefore, dear church, we proclaim, to God alone be the glory. To God alone be the glory. To God alone be the glory. This is amazing. It's wonderful. Now I want to end our time with the following. I want us to go to Revelation chapter 7 so we can end our time. Revelation chapter 7, and we're going to read verses 9 to 12. Now, if you got Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to tell you this. What you're about to read, this is your own life. This is you worshiping your King. God is allowing us to open a window to the future to show us how amazing that day will be when we stand before our Savior altogether. And I want you to notice how in that day, we're gonna continue proclaiming for all eternity songs of praises to our Savior, to our God. And at the end of verse 12, you will notice this, that this song of praise is the same song, is the same one that Paul is given here in Romans 11. Praising our Lord for his wisdom, his knowledge, his power, his honor, for the salvation that he gave us through Jesus our Lord. Now let us read Revelation 7, chapter 7, verses 9 and 12. After this, I looked and saw a great multitude, which no one could count, of all nations, tribes, people, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white garments and with palms in their hands. Verse 10, they cry out with a loud voice, saying, salvation, oh, salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb. Verse 11. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living beings. These fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and strength be to our God forever and ever. Oh, it's amazing. Dear church, this is the place where our voices will join thousands and thousands and thousands of angels worshiping our God. This is you worshiping your King. This is us shouting with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb. Wow. And we're going to be declaring and proclaiming and exalting our King. Blessing, and glory and honor and power to our God forever and ever. To God alone be the glory. To God alone be the glory. To Christ alone be the glory forever and ever, beloveds. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for this precious sermon, this precious word that you gave us today, O God, our King. Oh, how much you loved us. Allow us, O God, to continue marching and proclaiming the glory of God in our lives, in our workplace, in this church. Oh God, allow us not to be cold when we come here and we gather together. Forgive us for our sins. Clean our hearts and our minds. Allow us to see the wonderful things that you have done for these unworthy sinners. And to praise you and honor you. Allow us to come to this place knowing that we come to worship the Holy One. Blessed be your name, O Lord. We thank you for Christ, our King, our Savior. He needs to be exalted among his people. Oh God, help us. Help us help this church. Help Iglesia Esperanza. Help Living Hope. Bless your church, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we pray all these things. Amen.